Welcome to Comic Con's podcast, a geek podcast for the rest of us. Who are the rest of us? My name is Nick Stevens, and again, I am your host. But in a way, aren't we all waiting for a certain individual to join the room, the ZWM Box 350? I'm early, he's not. And I'm admitting him now. Look at that, I'm beaming him in. He's coming in as Captain Pike. I'm sitting here waiting for him to show his beautiful face. We're waiting for that audio to kick in, and we're just waiting for it to come into frame here.
Here we go. Let me. Oh, shit. Here we go.
Uh-oh. Well, it sounds like he's. There he is. In the dark. Here we go. Come on. Turn the lights on.
There we go.
Oh!
I'm here.
Holy shit.
Is there. Were you having trouble?
Looks like we both have villains as our background, although I will say yours takes the cake. Ooh, let's not stand on ceremony here, Mr. Powell. Tell us what's on your mind. Let's talk about it.
How about that? Folks, if you don't think your vote matters, it matters now.
It matters. It's never mattered more. Let me tell you something.
It matters now.
Folks, if you're out there listening and you're wondering what the fuck we're talking about, you're going to just have to wait till I post a clip on the IGs. But listen, we got a backgrounds on our Zoom. So it's another wonderful flavor of the show that we add to the mix. And you got old McConnell staring off into space as yours. And I got to say, that was one hell of a press conference, wasn't it?
He freaking freezes.
I mean, either
it was a stroke.
It had to be a stroke. Look at that face.
It had to be. Because it just...
It was a string of
actually, I don't even know if he blinked.
He didn't blink.
I was just thinking about it.
Like he was freaking dead to rights. If you don't think what is McConnell? McConnell is
He's Senate Majority Leader?
But what is this? McConnell is Kentucky?
He's from out our way, but not too far away.
No, who does he represent? I thought he represents Kentucky.
Fuck if I know. Obviously, a bunch of hateful, ignorant bastards because they keep voting him into office every time he's.
Oh, if you want to keep this fucker that had a stroke standing up.
I mean, our commander in chief ain't so far away from that either.
Why would you want to keep these old fucks in office?
I don't get it. These guys are getting older by the day exponentially. You know? Why would they want to do it?
Why do they want to keep. Yeah, right. Like, what? And see, I guess that's the drug of power.
Like, I'm looking at him and I'm going room 504 in, Sunny Beam assisted living. You know what I'm saying?
Right. That's where he should be.
Mm.
That's where he should be. But he's up here talking about how he's going to block another bill.
And then they even asked him afterwards, like, are you okay? I mean, was that from your concussion earlier in the year? He said, no, I'm fine.
I'm fine.
Motherfucker, you ain't fine.
How do you just go blank?
You are not fine, dude. That was a stroke. That was an aneurysm. That was something.
It was something. He was gone.
Man.
I was like, what the hell? Like, okay, I'm not a pure asshole to be like, I just wanted him, his life to end. I'm not like that.
No, we ain't talking about that.
But at the same time, these jokers are too old.
That's what I'm saying. I didn't pick sides. I was talking about Biden just now. Like, you know, our commander in chief ain't too far behind.
Whatever happened to him. If it comes down to it, and it's somebody under 50, they got my vote. Automatically.
They got to.
I don't care.
You know, well, let's talk about it because, it's not looking pretty. The candidates for 2024 are not, I mean, it's not looking pretty.
No.
It's not looking pretty. And we can go down the line. Thanks to the New York Times, they provided a very up-to-date. This is all flying by the seat of our pants, by the way. We didn't plan this, kids.
Nope.
We didn't plan this.
I planned it.
Powell planned it.
I planned it.
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan. Okay, let's just take a look at old Biden himself, old Joe himself, okay? If elected, he'd be 82 on Inauguration Day. 82!
82!
Okay.
Who is 82 in charge of nukes?
Guess what, guys? Self-proclaimed Oprah Winfrey spiritual advisor Marianne Williamson
ain't that far behind. She'll be 72 on inauguration day. Granted, it's a 10-year difference, but you get what I'm saying. Old Bob Kennedy Jr. Now, who doesn't love a good Kennedy in office, right? Not this guy. He'll be 71 years old, and he's an anti-vaxxer. Now, again, kids, we don't want to get too in the weeds on this, but look at the numbers, kids. Just look at the fucking numbers. That's all I'm going to fucking say. So we know he's not getting in. Old Donald Trump himself, he'll be 78. So even if you like him or hate him, he'll be 78, man. The only one at Nikki Haley, she'll be 53. That's young. And 53 is young.
But you skipping over the juice.
Hold on, I'm getting there. Oh. Vivek Ramaswamy, not gonna work here anymore. Asa Hutchinson, 74 years old on Inauguration Day. Larry Elder, how dare you run with the Republicans? 72 on Inauguration Day. Tim Scott, your boy, 59.
That's okay.
59. 60 seems like a good cutoff, right?
60 is the cutoff.
And good old Ron DeSavory DeSantis himself, 46 years old.
Superboy.
Young.
Superboy.
Young blood. Mike Pence will be 65, that old fuck, if elected.
Okay, you know what? I don't know. Like, if it really did come down to it, I don't know. The sanctimonious might get my vote.
Hey, if I'm going to go out with a bang and go out with a smile, I'm going to get myself a large bag of fries with it, and I might go the way of Chris Christie. 62 years old on Inauguration Day.
If elected.
I feel like he'd do a lot less harm than Pence.
I think so.
And Doug Burgum, 68 years old on Inauguration Day.
Pence definitely have us handmade still.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. He'll get us there, which you might actually enjoy that. So
I would appreciate it.
You might be voting.
I would appreciate it.
And my man with the plan, Mr. Cornel West, professor and progressive activist, independent, running as an independent. Frequenter on the Bill Maher Show. Hell of an afro. Loves that Cornel Erica Badu. He'll be 72 if elected, which, come on, let's face it. I mean, Cornell has about as much luck getting elected, especially on a third party platform, as Nick Stevens has, you know, getting on the Joe Rogan podcast anytime soon.
That's not looking. Oh, you want to get there?
Well, I thought it might give us the best boom for our buck, or the best buck for our boom. What do you think?
I'm trying to get on that Adam 22 podcast. That's where I'm going.
I don't know what that is.
I want that Lena the Plug. Huh? What you mean you don't know what that is?
I don't know what that is. I don't have my finger on the pulse like you do.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. What is that? Tell me what that is. I don't know.
Just look up Lena the Plug and you'll be
Lena the Plug. Walks. Is it a video podcast?
Oh yeah, it's a video podcast.
Mm. You know, I'm a big audio only kind of guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm old school, just analog. And a lot of the podcasts I listen to, they're still on reel to reel tapes. So there's no,
you don't like to see that video.
No, I mean, usually I'm driving, so it's a little,
oh, okay.
It's a little hard to. Although even on the train, that's not true. On the train, I'd watch some clips, like the YouTube highlights from some shows. I do like seeing a good face with the name, you know?
I mean, if I would promote another podcast on this podcast.
Sure, go for it.
I do like that Mayim Bialik podcast. The Breakdown with Mayim.
I guess I got to check that out too.
Yeah.
I haven't listened to that one. Sometimes I'll do a little smart list. I always go back to that fucking Neil deGrasse Tyson Star Talk. That's always in the rotato.
Oh yeah, that's
with that Chuck Nice. I love it when Chuck Nice is on. You know, I don't like it when he doesn't have Chuck Nice on. He tries other comedians. It doesn't really get my flair. I think him and Chuck Nice, kind of like you and me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. When other people come on the show, it's just not the same.
Yeah. Oh no.
Oh, this could go any which way. We could end up talking about I don't know, monkeys in space, you know, UFOs, UTIs, you know.
But what are we here for?
What are we here for? Does it really matter?
It doesn't matter who we are.
By the way, folks, if you haven't watched Oppenheimer yet and you haven't watched Barbie yet, then...
I haven't watched Barbie yet.
Oh, well, I have watched it.
And I see you're already giving the Oscar and Grammy to freaking...
Man, you don't know, bro. Ryan Gosling has that range, man.
Gosling already.
He's got that range. I watch him in a movie like Drive, and I'm like, okay, I get it. Tall, sexy, stoic. See, you went full ham on Kinnaman last time we talked. I'm going to go full ham on some Goss.
You like that Gosling?
But then I forgot. I was like, oh, yeah, he can sing too. He had a band back in like the early mid 2000s. They were kind of like indie folk, but he like sang his ass off in this movie. And then he acted as that, like he had some comedy chops, which I should have known because he was always funny on SNL when he would host. But
I don't think I've ever seen comedy from
Gotham. Oh yeah, it was good, man. And then they had a lot. I got to say, man, Barbie, like the premise of it, me and the wife went, it was a little date night action. And I got to say, it's a clever fucking movie. I didn't expect
what
I saw.
Not just for kids. Not just for kids.
No, it's definitely not. I wouldn't even say it's really for kids, only because I feel like kids might not get it all the way. I'd say it's more for like teen or tween teens, tweens and teens. What's, is a tween below a teen or above a teen?
Tween is below a teen.
Okay, so tweens, teens, and then adults.
I heard there was a lot of political stuff in it.
There's a little bit of that. There's even a little Zack Snyder dig. Well, Zack Snyder.
Yeah, I read about that, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
But it's good, man. Like, it's everybody's utilized. Everybody's having a good time. The sets are great. The costumes are great.
Can you elaborate on that Simu Liu a little bit? Heard there was some.
He's great.
He's great.
Yeah, he sings in it. He works a little bit of West Side Story action against Ryan Gosling's Ken. They're all Kens, but the Kens kind of go up against each other to vibe for Barbie. But obviously, there's a real world versus Barbie world thing, fish out of water thing. Will Ferrell shows up for a good time as the CEO of Mattel. It's got some cornball antics like that kind of make it seem cheesy enough for kids, but at the same time, it's got this like undercurrent of like, hey guys, it doesn't matter who we are. Barbie can be anybody, you know? Barbie can be anyone, you know? We are Barbie. We are Ken. It doesn't matter. Go find out who you are. Don't let somebody else define who you are.
You got all that from Barbie?
All of that.
Wow.
It was clever. There were a little bit of sentimental stuff that, Jen and I looked at each other at one point. We're like, yeah, we could kind of speed this up a little bit. And it feels like it could have almost come from like, the same people that did the Lego movie, right? It could have almost had that same vibe.
That's kind of the feel I thought
I could see that. It has a very meta thing to it. And if it was animated, it could have had that vibe. But Greta Gerwig writing and directing, giving it an obvious, there's obvious a feminist push in it, but it's not like, it's not what some of the people are saying out in the press. It's not like it's over the top and, you know, dividing America.
Did you realize that when you search Barbie in Google, you got the pink shimmers and the page turns pink.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Kind of cool little effect.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I like it when people do that.
I wish they did that with Oppenheimer. I wish I had like a nuclear fallout.
A nuclear holocaust, right.
Some kind of bomb.
You're just Googling Oppenheimer to get the show times.
Yeah.
And you get a nuclear holocaust. Meanwhile, you're in your 70s or 80s getting ready to run for president. And you just want to watch Oppenheimer, and that's why you're Googling the movie times, because you're so old you don't have the fucking Fandango app.
And then when it does happen, you just to get back to McConnell, those are
let's get back to it.
Those are comeuppance. That's what you get.
That's what you get for
that's
being a horrible prick.
That's what happens when you fuck over people.
Right.
Right. That's put you in that position, and you know.
Did you see that Onion article I forwarded?
It comes back.
The Onion article left for it. It was in the thread. It was in our thread.
Oh, no. I didn't go back.
You know, the Onion likes to throw shit out there, and they don't fucking play, man. They don't pull
it. Yeah, they
don't
play at all. No.
And it said McConnell experiences stroke after envisioning a black person happy.
That's what.
And then you click on the headline, it gets to the article, and it's like, after physicians ran some tests, it was revealed that he's had numerous strokes anytime he envisions a black person experiencing a brief momentary sense of relief or joy.
Man.
Hardcore. They don't play, man. They don't pull those punches.
Terrible, because I believe it. That's probably what happened.
You know what? I mean,
because he got lost. He got lost.
Dude, he got lost. It wasn't like he was fumbling for like the right word and stumbled. Or paused and like looked around, like he was gone, dude. He was not
like,
there.
I really feel like probably Satan showed up in the background with the press,
bro. He saw the Insidious monster guy.
Right, he saw the Insidious. what movie am I thinking about? Where there was a, I don't know if it was like a friendly ghost that was just like, I'm here. I can't think
I
of the
don't
movie
know.
right now. And like the guy just couldn't believe he was there. Pink Panther. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, Pink Panther. The not the Steve Martin one though. You're talking about
No, not Steve Martin.
that Blake Edwards.
With Peter Sellers.
Yeah. The Blake Edwards directed ones.
And it was when his when Clouseau's boss was just released from the insane asylum. Oh,
Oh
for
shit.
the kids that don't know,
The
the Pink
kids.
Panther series
Hell of a series.
is genius comedy. Like you can't get that
You
anymore.
can't get that anymore. You know what? I
Peter
was thinking.
Sellers was a genius.
I was thinking about you earlier today because I think I was like, I don't know what I was thinking about. My thoughts traced back to that airplane, that first airplane movie, when they got to put the autopilot on, and she like has to blow it. She has to blow it up, and it's just a fucking inflatable autopilot. And he's smiling. He starts smiling and blowing the cigarette because the inflate thing, the little inflate knob, is like on his junk, like right below the belt. And he ends up smoking a cigarette, and then she's smoking a cigarette when the camera pans back to him. And then I was just driving around thinking about it, and it just made me laugh out loud. Like nobody else is around.
How can you can't get that kind of comedy
You
anymore?
can't, man. You can't.
Because all comedy, at least for me, the way I see it, all comedy is related. If you do, if people, if a comedian does a movie right now and they want to do just the slapstick comedy, it's got to do with like it's going to do with like social media stuff and
Or it's got to have a message.
or a message, and it's like
Right.
dealing with the memes and all this stuff. It's just not original stuff
No,
anymore.
it's not. It's not. Like, I think the last time, and I still laugh out loud when I see it. First of all, I mean, that first Anchorman is always golden, but that second Anchorman, I think people sleep on that Anchorman too. When he goes fucking blind, quote unquote, and he's in the goddamn lighthouse, and he's eating like he's biting into ashtrays and shit, and like his friends show up and they're like, You didn't know that was a waffle when you picked it up, and it was like a hard piece of glass. He's like, I said I'm blind.
Because he
And
was
then he
there.
tries to leave and drives into the lighthouse. Like, that shit, that's
Which
just
Anchorman was
slapstick.
the big battle? Which Anchorman was it? First Anchorman or second Anchorman?
So you have the battle in the streets in Anchorman 1. But then you have the crazy battle with like ghosts and shit at the end of Anchorman 2 when Will Smith shows up. It's good, man. Like that shit is like, I would say the Anchorman movies to me are like the closest thing to like that older kind of humor with like this crazy slapstick.
Can you really name a good comedy that's been here that's come out within the last, I give it 4 years?
Like laughs all the way through.
Memorable laughs. Because I can remember memorable laughs from The Cable Guy. Like
Yes, Cable
when
Guy.
Jim
Yeah.
Carrey and what's Ferris' real name? What's Ferris Bueller's real name?
Oh shit, fucking Matthew Broderick.
And Matthew Broderick and they're at the medieval times,
Oh, it's great.
and
Medieval
Jim Carrey
times.
and Jim Carrey is doing
The Hannibal
the
Lecter. Oh yeah.
Spock
If you don't fight, they will kill us both.
and
Dude, that's so great you brought up Cable Guy, because
on, man, come on.
that is my favorite Jim Carrey movie.
Get out of here.
I
Bullshit.
I
Bullshit.
no,
Bullshit.
that's my favorite.
Bullshit.
No, I'm serious.
Bullshit.
It's the only one I own. Actually, that's not true. I own Larry. I own Cable Guy and The Truman Show. And I know people go to Ace Ventura, or they go to like The Mask and shit. But for me, that Cable Guy, man, that Cable Guy fucked me up,
Why you saying go to the mask?
dude. I mean, The Mask. I think I would argue Ace Ventura and The Mask definitely put him on the map. Actually, that's not true, man. Dumb and Dumber. I still laugh at Dumb and Dumber a lot.
Oh man, Dumb and Dumber. Like it's you're guaranteed to remember how to laugh in Dumb and Dumber. No matter what, when Harry drinks that that laxative and he has to
That
get on that toilet, I'm still going in tears right
dude,
now.
even the fucking we got no food, we got no jobs, our pets' heads are falling off.
And then he pisses on his pants.
Oh
go, man. Just go. Come on.
Just go, man.
I can't remember a team like that within the last 4 years.
Hey. Sorry. My friend's a little slow. The town's that way. And all those fucking supermodels get back on the bus.
I mean, are there any comedians out there that can put a movie together like that now?
I don't know. I guess that's why it was fun seeing, like, I think Will Ferrell and his team in Anchorman was like the best of that, in my opinion. Like, I think him and Paul Rudd worked really well together. Obviously, yeah. Fucking Steve Carell worked really well. Even fucking, fucking Married with Children. Goddamn. Christina Applegate was great. She had chops. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's a lot of... Tropic Thunder was another good one.
Yeah.
Tropic Thunder. I mean, I was fucked up during that.
They asked Downey. They asked Downey if he would reprise that. He said, fuck yeah.
He said he would.
Yeah.
And they asked Jamie Foxx. You're like, now, could you do that again? And Jamie Foxx was like, yeah, there was nothing fucking wrong with that. Because they made the joke of it in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't like...
That's why it worked.
Right.
Yeah.
It was so controversial. Remember they say like an actor, Tom Lazarus, whatever the fuck his name was. It's like just underwent a controversial surgery.
Because he stayed in character.
He did. He really did. Oh, man.
But that's what people, some people actually, that's all they remember for Downey right now. If it's not Tony Stark, it's for Tropic Thunder.
It's for Tropic Thunder.
He did it so good.
He did it so good.
Yeah.
He did it so good. He crushed it. Would you want to see another Tropic Thunder?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Like, how would they do it? Would they try to make it a sequel to the Vietnam thing, or would you like just rather it help be a whole new thing?
It could be a whole new thing. Yeah, like they don't have to just run off of that.
Like a Gulf War
thing? I
can see
him doing like a space thing or something like that.
Oh yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
But he plays the same.
Yeah. Plays the same black guy.
Or he plays a Hispanic guy or something.
Oh, man. If they could change it. Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying?
It would defeat the purpose, though, because you're coming back just to see him act as a black man.
You really are. Yeah. You really are. It would have to be really well written to make it work. Yeah. And I want to see Tom Cruise show up again with those big hands.
Man.
You know,
I didn't know Tom Cruise could do comedy until I seen Tropic Thunder.
I know. And apparently he loved doing it.
He made me cry the first time I saw it.
Dude. Everybody was good in that shit, man.
Yeah.
Fucking Nick Nolte.
It doesn't get... The movie itself doesn't get that much, kudos. But what is that, 2009?
I want to say
2008.
I want to say it was the same year as Iron Man.
Yeah. Yep, around the same time as Iron Man.
That was the Downey Renaissance, the revival.
His revival, right.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess, like you said, I guess it has to be like that straight up slapstick kind of shit. Obviously, there can be a plot, obviously, but if there's any kind of like message or like, then it gets distorted. Like it could still be good. It doesn't take away from the movie, but then it's more of a movie and not just like Airplane didn't have any goddamn message, really.
No message.
You know what I'm saying? Blazing Saddles had really no message. I mean, if anything, maybe Blazing Saddles could have pointed a finger at some of the, like, just bigotry.
Like, Blazing Saddles messed with race.
Yes, yes. Yeah. But it wasn't
race,
like a...
Race relations at that
right.
time.
Right. When that old townie racist is trying to warn everybody, and they keep ringing the bell.
He said, God damn it, Blazing Saddles, man.
It's bad enough he can't talk already.
I said, like, there's a...
like there's bad enough. It's bad enough you can't understand him, but then he's trying to say that word, and then every time, like, that is funny to me, man. That is
Reverend.
Funny. I never thought we'd spend most of the podcast just talking about comedies. Isn't that that movie?
Look, you know what? I'll tell you what, though. I'll tell you this. To go back on what I said, there is one thing I can say. History of the World, the one that just came out on Hulu, that was funny.
I haven't fucked with it yet because I love the movie so much.
Yeah,
but you said the show's worth fucking with.
the show is worth messing with.
It's like a mini series kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because as long as you have Mel Brooks messing with it, that's the only way you get me involved.
I know. He's a gem, isn't he?
Right. Like, there's nothing he did wrong. All his movies, they everything just worked out.
Right. And he's still sharp as hell, too.
Yeah, still is.
When you see him in interviews, like, he's still going. Mm-hmm. Not like this fucking zombie behind you. Looking. God.
That's what happened when you play by the evils that you've done on the American people.
I guess. He's waking up at night talking to fucking Jules Verne's ghost. Never see me. You know what he reminds me of? He reminds me of the fucking that turtle thing from Neverending Story.
He does look like Cecil the Turtle.
No, I'm saying the turtle from Neverending Story, and it's like, well, nothing is coming.
No. How about that turtle? He was such an asshole. A trail just asshole. Trying to like get the name.
Yeah, what do you mean? When this damn horse died in the muck. God damn.
Oh man, that touched me right there, boy.
It fucked
that
you
horse
up,
died
didn't
in
it?
That mud. Of all things. Fucking horse died in the mud.
Because the horse, it's not like the horse just dies in the mud and we move on. The horse dies in the mud slowly and our trail is yelling for him.
Man.
You know? Like his friend is like dying slowly. Then he had to walk through that weird fucking those two statues with the tits out and shooting lasers out of their eyes.
Hmm. How often do you go back to Never Ending Story?
It's been at least 20 years.
20 years? You haven't touched it in 20?
I don't even know if I've touched it in 20. It might have been, might be 25. I don't think I've seen it since I was like a kid.
I don't think I've touched it since I've been in my 30s.
I mean, I don't, yeah.
Because I just don't want to see that fucking horse die.
I don't know what it would be even beyond. I don't know what it's on.
That's just me. I don't want to see that horse die. That's the worst part of that movie to me.
That is the worst part of that
I'm movie. Like, of all things, this pretty ass horse has to die.
Pretty ass horse.
Pretty horse. And then you got, what's the name? Foghorn, Leghorn? What is the dog name?
Falcor! Foghorn, Leghorn. Oh man, I only know Falcor because somebody either had the original head from the studio and posted it online and tried to sell it and it came up in my Instagram feed. You know, like just one of those random stories, or they made a fabricated rendition of it and then tried to sell it off as the original. Oh, I don't know. But it was like the head just sticking out of somebody's fucking garage. Imagine driving down the street.
That would be awesome. Like,
you know, come on.
That would be awesome.
Right?
Oh!
Can you imagine surprising your little girl with that? Hey, come out here real quick.
Big ass dog. But I did like it at the end when he got
of course.
When he fucking got those bullies back. I wish Falcor had bit the shit out of him.
I know. I wish Falcor ate one of them in half.
I wish he had ate them.
You know? And I remember watching that shit as a kid and having been bullied. And I identified hardcore with that.
Oh, no. You wanted a white dog to...
Yes, a white knight. I wanted a white knight in shining armor.
Oh, he was a dragon. I forgot he was a dragon.
Right.
Right. He was a dragon. I keep forgetting. I thought he was just one big dog. I forgot he was a dragon.
I think it's totally fair to call him a dog dragon because he had a dog face. Let's be real.
He was
called
something else.
Yeah, let's be real. Never ending story.
Oh, that Lamal. Turn around. Look at what you see.
I'm
back to the good time. It takes
wasted.
You back.
It does take you back to. It does take you back to those good times.
The nothing.
The nothing is coming. Nothing.
What was the nothing? Was the nothing just boredom?
I think it was just the end of imagination, right? Like, just,
oh yeah, you're right. The end of imagination.
Just boredom. Dad, I'm bored. What do you do when your kid tells you that she's bored? Like, you know, my son doesn't say it too often, but every now and then he'll just kind of sit down and put his head on his hands, and I'll be like, "What's wrong, buddy?" And he'll be like, "I'm bored." It's like, what do you want to do? Let's go outside.
Well, yeah, I do be like, oh, shit, let's get out the house.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Let's go outside. It's 90 degrees out there, but fuck.
90 degrees. It's you fucking see Sarah Connor burning up by the playground, but you said, fuck it, let's go.
That is the truth right there. You see the fucking Oppenheimer dust cloud in the fucking distance. You know? Oh, you like that segue?
Let's get into it.
Let's get into it.
It took long enough.
It took a while.
This movie was so goddamn good. I wanted to hear from the director, the actors, because I was interested in how they like brought their characters to life. You know,
did you do a lot of reading before the movie or after the movie?
No. I just wanted to know what was Nolan trying to convey with Oppenheimer? Like what did he want me to get from it? And he just wanted me to, he was like, some of the interviews, his main thing was he just wanted the viewer just to see what Oppenheimer, the man, who he was, you know? Mm-hmm. And I guess a lot of the history books and the documentaries don't really cover the man.
I guess they don't. I didn't know that much about him going into this.
Yeah, they just cover the acts. You know, the acts and the genius, the intelligence that went into the Manhattan Project.
Right. We've all heard of the Manhattan Project. We've all heard of that 1945 Call of Duty, that sense of the race to the bomb, if you will. But the lead up and everything, and even him just being starting off as a scientist, spoilers, kids. Mm-hmm. Trotting around the globe, being a lowly would-be chemist, scientist, aspiring scientist. He ends up becoming a professor and teaching over here. And then it's off to the fucking races when his colleagues learn about this race to build a fucking atomic bomb.
Because you got to think about it. And the movie brings it out. Like, this is the time of, like, some serious, like, brainiac-type dudes were, you know, in the world at that time. Like, he's working alongside Heisenberg and, you know, Einstein.
Right. He'd already had conversations with these men.
Giving them the finger and shit, you know?
Right. He'd already met a lot of these people. People were in the know. People were gathering together. There was already meetings of communism because there was like social reform trying to be come out of labor disadvantages and labor inequality. And so there was that going on. Then you had all these countries fighting each other, and America was out of it. America wasn't even in the war.
Yeah, it wasn't even in
it. You know? Yeah. Until Pearl Harbor. Yeah. December 7th, 1941. Mm. A day that will live in infamy.
I like the way you pulled that out.
You like that, huh? FDR himself said that. And then he became a non-isolationist, so to speak. What do you think? Do you think we as America, do you think we owe it to the world to be involved in almost all conflicts because we are who we are? Or do we need to stay the fuck out of most conflicts?
I mean, it's just the hero complex of America. That's all it is. Mm. Like, we're so great. We're so great, and we need to save everyone.
We need to save everybody.
However, we can't save ourselves.
No, we can't. Yeah. From ourselves.
From ourselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's just the hero complex that America has had for the past, you know, what? You know, a few hundred years now. So,
and you mentioned these great minds. Do you think that there was more great thinking and great minds in that era than now?
No, I just think it was
less distractions.
No. It was just at the peak of. I think scientists at that point were at the edge of discovering more because at that point, Einstein had just figured out, you know, quantum mechanics. I'm not even going to pretend to know, like, I know what that shit is, but it's huge. It's huge enough for, you know, Paul Rudd to go into the universe of it today. That's how big it is.
To meet Kang, yes.
To meet Kang.
And that's how we bring it back. But I will say this, and you might disagree with me. I thought this movie, especially with some of the conversations in the preliminary stages of them trying to understand quantum mechanics, they did a really good job of, obviously some scientists, especially Oppenheimer, were a little bit more conceited and arrogant. because they knew so much and they kind of started off that way and they just were that way. But again, I thought just watching this movie, I was like, oh, wait a minute. The way they're breaking this down with the chain reaction and the neutron upon neutrons exploding, I feel like maybe I'm starting to get quantum mechanics.
The break, and that's a, yeah. That's another thing that Nolan says in his interview. Like, he worked with a lot of string theorists and quantum theorists during the movie, the making of the movie, just so that the viewer doesn't get lost in translation when Oppenheimer and the rest of those guys are talking here and there. Like, you, me and you can actually follow them.
I was following.
Yeah. On how I was to fucking build a nuke. At this point.
And just like Interstellar with the, I mean, off the back of Carl Sagan. And again, kid, if you don't know kids, you googs. Okay. But he read a lot about Carl Sagan and looked at old interviews of Carl Sagan, read the books. And I think he planted a lot of that stuff in Interstellar to the point where I was like, oh, wait a minute. Maybe even I know how a black hole works now. You know, I think despite all that, I still didn't understand Tenet. I wish maybe he took some of that handholding and applied it to Tenet. Yeah. I could have had my hand held just a little bit in Tenet.
He definitely didn't do it in Tenet.
No.
No. No.
And even Inception, a dream within a dream within a dream. Like, I'm tracking. I'm with you. Mm-hmm. You know? But that's what I'm saying. Like, he did a good job of really breaking that down.
Right.
I don't know who else worked on the script, but I think it was, I know he wrote some of it. The story was
I think he wrote the majority of it.
It was great. I love the back and forth dialogue. I love the speed of the dialogue, especially when Matt Damon's character comes into frame and he's going at it. He's like, I've never met a fucking physicist who wasn't full of himself. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We talked about it already offline, but you know, that Emily Blunt, she crushed it. I didn't know anything about Oppenheimer's wife before watching this movie.
Nope, I didn't know too much about that either. I didn't know about the womanizing stuff.
Neither did I.
That they claim. That he was like back then. So
I didn't know
most of the documentaries in the history books, they just tell you about the man, the genius of it, and just his overwatch of the project itself. And like, I never knew about, you know, the child and, you know, him having an affair with the communist Black Widow, you know.
How fitting was it that Florence Pugh was a commie?
So, were you expecting titties?
Was not expecting titties at all.
I was not expecting titties at all.
Not in a movie like this. When have we ever seen titties in a Nolan movie? You know,
and then even you're right. Even in a Nolan movie, I can't remember a tit in a Nolan movie.
I think we might have gotten a little bit of a back and a little bit of an ass cheek from Talia al Ghul herself in Rises, when her and Wayne are sleeping in the Wayne Manor.
You got cheek.
I want to say we got some cheek. But again, it was like artsy.
Nip.
It was,
we got
it was,
nip and begins.
We got nip and begins through the shirt. That was not intentional. I think they just kept it in the frame. But yeah, no, it's not the norm. And I got to say, I was pleasantly surprised by the relationship. I felt for the relationship.
Oh,
the
relationship, not just the tits.
And the totskis. I even told the wife, I said, look, yeah, she got naked in that movie. And it was like her real body.
She got naked, right.
It wasn't a body double.
No.
And she had him reading out of a Sanskrit.
Okay, she has a nice body. It was nice and tanned.
It was very tanned.
Very tan and
spray tanned,
moist
strawberries.
How about that? How about that Killian though? You like that? You like that Killian?
Oh, you're just gonna skip over strawberries.
Yeah,
that Killian. Okay, he's got to get something for this, right? He's got to get.
He's going to get a Tony.
Yeah, that musical number was fantastic.
He's
going to
get a Tony, and he's going to get an MTV. A video award. That's what he's gonna get.
What if Oppenheimer wasn't? What if Oppenheimer was a musical? We're supposed to build a bomb, but I'm scared. I don't.
Oh, know you got the moves.
Yeah, you have to be a little. You singy, songy, dancy.
I see
talky.
You really went into that Barbie. Yeah. You pull some stuff from that Barbie.
But then his wife comes on the stage. Oppie, pull yourself together. It's just a bomb, and we have to beat Germany and Japan. You know, because that was the big deal. We got to show Japan not only, hey, that we're serious, so we drop it once, but but we got to drop it twice to show that we can keep doing it.
The Nazis was so far ahead.
They were so far ahead.
I didn't know they were that far ahead.
I didn't know it either, but they had it backwards, remember?
They had plutonium. All right.
They needed something else. There was something else that they needed. There was something missing.
See, I don't know, because that's where I got lost. I always thought it was hydrogen bombs that we dropped. But they were nuclear bombs. It was just like, I'm guessing the other scientist, what was his name? Berg?
I thought they used the hydrogen to pack in all the uranium or plutonium.
The uranium?
Because they couldn't contain. Remember, they were using marbles in a fishbowl to show the example?
Right.
And I don't think they could fill it all the way up. They used the hydrogen to compact it. Again, I could be wrong, kids.
But they were so against that. And that's the only thing. They were like, they were just, when he brought up, he was like, we can do hydrogen. And everybody was like, get the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out of here, you fucking
hydrogen. Fuck you know?
Get the fuck out of here, you fucking idiot. Fuck you, everybody.
We're using plutonium and uranium.
We're fucking using plutonium over here, you fucking cocksucker. Hey.
There you go. Well, maybe it was hydrogen. I don't know. I always thought it was a hydrogen bomb that we dropped.
Hmm.
But
I'm glad they didn't show us Nagasaki and Hiroshima.
I wanted to see that.
You wanted to see it. I thought they might go there.
I wanted to see it
because we got some visions.
You got visions, but I would have liked to see. And Nolan said that too. He just wanted to show
the lead up,
the result.
The result.
Like everybody knows what happens after Nagasaki and Hiroshima, but I would have liked to seen it. Like, at least let me get on the Nola Gay and let me see you drop Big Boy. I wanted to see it.
I thought the lead up to it, where they're in that room with the generals when they're discussing like which one they're going to drop it on. I thought that was a very intense scene.
Yeah.
You know, especially when homeboy goes, I've taken the liberty of taking Kyoto off the list. My wife and I have honeymoon there. It's very charming.
Yeah.
And he says that so nonchalantly. And everyone, certain people in the room are looking at him like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, you're bringing up this? Like, what the fuck?
Like, are you fucking kidding me? Aren't you the guy that tried to kill the Phantom? You fucking...
James Remar, kids. Come on out. He's a great character actor.
You're the guy that tried to kill the fucking Phantom.
Right. You're the Alpha. You're the him? Poor man's Alfred Molina.
I appreciate him. I appreciate him.
We love James Remar.
Oh, he's a good actor.
We love James. He was in Dexter. He was great.
He shouldn't have never been Raiden. I know that.
Well, maybe not. But wait, no, that wasn't Raiden.
It was Raiden.
Christopher Lambert was Raiden.
Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
James Remar replaced Christopher Lambert.
Right.
Oh, damn. Not only are you referencing, see, if you had said the first Mortal Kombat, that would have been a deep cut. But you went deeper with the deepest cut with Annihilation, which nobody saw that one. Nobody saw that one.
Shao Kahn. He came in. He was not a bad rating in hindsight now. But
did anybody come back for that Annihilation? Anybody from the first one?
Just Liu Kang and Katana.
How do you feel about Carl Urban as that Johnny Cage in the next Mortal Kombat movie?
Where did you get that information?
He's dyed his hair and everything. He's been cast.
He's been cast?
He's Johnny Cage.
Oh, wow. I don't know how that plays out.
Because I guess Johnny Cage wasn't in the first one. I'm talking about the newer, you know.
Yeah, he wasn't in the first one.
I guess it did enough. It did well enough on the Max app when they dropped it that they're making another one.
Like, here's the thing. Mortal Kombat wasn't horrible. But it just...
Too much too late?
Not too late either. I think it was just... like, it had a lot to live up to.
What about that Katana, though?
What Katana? Oh, you're talking about Molina.
Oh, sorry. Molina.
That yuck Finish mouth. It. Yeah, that yuck mouth with that... Oh, oh my god!
All the back.
That Shang Tsung didn't know what was back there.
He didn't know any. We didn't know what was back there. It was camera.
He was still looking for Batman to come get him.
Right, come over here.
You know,
cut. I still like that original Mortal Kombat.
Of course you do.
The 90s one,
95.
That New Line Cinema, man.
You gotta love it.
Yeah,
you gotta love it. But how about this? How about I kind of got goosies when Oppenheimer was. You know, suiting up like Batman.
Oh, yeah, that was cool. I kind of got gooseies at a number of scenes when I was just waiting for Ra's al Ghul to show up, hence my background. I was just waiting for Ra's al Ghul to just show up, and I wouldn't have been mad.
I know you stuck around for the end credits to see.
I definitely see if
Bruce Wayne would come back to God.
I definitely stuck around to the end credits to see if Bane was going to show up. Like, oh yes, the hydrogen bombs. I'm like, wait, you were around in 1945. Where are we? Is this a time leap? Fell through a time portal.
Could Nolan have done that? And this movie would still get the accolades that it's getting right now.
Yes, it would just be the last 5 minutes after the bomb was dropped. Everyone's already crying their eyes out.
Right.
And then it just happens. We see the villains show up. They fell through a time rift, some time continuum rip in space, which he loves.
You want to see the villains show up. You don't want to see Batman show up.
No, because that's it. Because then he's going to go, there's no one to stop us. And then all of a sudden it cuts to the fucking Tumblr coming through. And the Tumblr just reels out and we see a bat symbol in the sky. End cut credits.
You just don't want to see a cape show up.
No, just a Tumblr, man. We don't see a cape because
just
we're gonna have
a Tumblr.
Yeah, because it's gonna be, you know, it could very well be a new Batman because the other one went off with Catwoman somewhere.
Nope. No, it's Christian Bale.
Oh, it's Bale? Gray streaks in his hair.
Right. With scruff.
An old Michael Caine.
Right.
With a cane this time. An actual cane. Yeah. Michael Caine with a cane.
Yeah.
One more round, sir.
I think Nolan could have got away with it if he had brought Batman at the end.
He could have gotten away with it easily. A little post-credits guy, you know?
Yeah, a little post-credit.
Yeah.
That's it.
I was waiting for it. I definitely had
either John David Washington shows up and, you know, he really explains Tenet.
But instead of explaining Tenet, he just shows up with cornrows and that little robot girl. He's like, the creator comes out in September.
Oh, and the movies just mix in with each other.
Yeah. Because I'll say this. Let's talk about it for a second. This is really the whole purpose of talking about this movie tonight. This is a breath of fresh air. And I'll say this for Barbie, too. I think Barbie and Oppenheimer both is kind of a breath of fresh air in a time when we're seeing, you know, movie theater screens with superheroes and latex and capes and skin and tights and...
And remakes.
And remakes and revamps. And it's like Ghostbuster Afterlife. And remember that thing you liked when you were a kid? Well, we're making this. And I guess you could argue Barbie is very similar to that. It's cashing in on something from our youth, especially from my wife's point of view.
But you're right, though. Barbie is different.
It's
from
different.
The typical films that we've been seeing the past 2 to 3 years right now. Barbie is different.
It is different because it's not like it was just set in the Barbie world.
No, right.
The story is very unique. It's off the wall. It's just crazy. And that's what makes it unique. And we really enjoyed it. And then Oppenheimer being a unique story in itself, like, especially from Nolan, like this visionary master storyteller, you know? I mean, the editing, first of all, if nobody wins an Oscar for an Oppenheimer, the sound editing alone, because it made you jump out of your goddamn seat.
Dude,
he's giving a little spiel to the crowded room and they're on the bleachers and then the sound goes out and everything almost goes white and then they grab him and he's like brought back into the chaos. Like, oh my God.
Like, this how about that test? So how about the test? I guess that would be my only fault for the movie.
Oh, I love that test.
Because when
the
it
lead
dropped,
up was great.
I wanted to hear it. I wanted to hear all of it.
Oh, you wanted to hear it. Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was good because they brought the sound back.
Like, you fucking cheated me.
But they brought the sound back.
They brought it back, but it was just like.
Yeah. Yeah. I appreciated how they stuck true to the science and you'd see the explosion before you heard the sound.
Yeah.
Because of the sound traveling and all that. Like, I thought that was cool. Because, you know, in other movies, it's instant, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked how they did that. And the shockwave, too. All that shit.
That lead up, which was about what 40 minutes of lead up,
easily
that was intense.
That was intense, man.
That was intense. That little lead up before that initial test of the bomb.
There's a lot of moments like that,
and no, it's not because after that test, it dragged.
It dragged because of the spoiler, kids, the Senate hearing thing or whatever. Yeah. When they were trying to appoint Robert Downey's character, which he was great in it too, by the way. No,
right.
Everybody was great in this, but
that's what I'm saying. Everyone was great. All the people from the previous Batman trilogy was great.
They could have sped it up a little bit,
because even the guy that Two-Face caught, you know, he was great.
He did show up. He did show up.
No,
I won't.
I want it. That's,
he's a schizophrenic. You're gonna leave a man like that. His life. You're gonna lead a man's life to chance.
Leave it to chance.
Lead it to chance.
You can't. Well, how do we get to talk about Batman? Here we go.
It's every time.
You can't give in.
You can't give in.
How many? That is one thing about that Nolan. He recycles. He knows how to recycle.
He knows which people work and which people don't work.
Right, right.
He knew that Matt Damon did a pretty good job as a rando villain in Interstellar for like 10 yep. minutes, so he brings him back.
Brings him back.
Was Killian in Interstellar? I feel like he was not. I feel like that's the one that Killian slipped remember. Out on.
Yeah.
But he was in almost everything else, I think.
Yeah.
Michael Caine did not show up in Oppenheimer.
That's a surprise.
I thought that was a surprise. He's been in every single other movie for the most part.
Yeah.
Gary Oldman showed up as good old Truman himself.
Now that, just like those Pew's tits, I was not expecting Gary Oldman.
I wasn't either. Dude, Shuler and I kept looking at each other because the cast kept getting more and more stacked. Like when Rami Malek showed up and he knocked a kid. I said it.
I was like, oh my God, this is a fucking all-star game of actors.
And then when he shows up at the end, I go, well, thank God he showed up for more than just getting a clipboard knocked out of his hand.
Right, because I was like, is he not going to have any speaking parts?
No, he just showed up and looked weird. Hey, who's a good guy that just looks weird?
Fucking Rami Malek. This movie was stacked.
It was stacked, bro. Everybody was in this bitch. Yes. Even had fucking Josh Hartnett showing up for a good time.
Josh Hartnett, oh my God.
Which I didn't recognize right away. I didn't realize how tall he was.
That Hartnett. He's like one of my top actors. I like that Hartnett.
I like him too. I think he's come a long way. I think he's fought for it. He's come a long way from the faculty. He's really worked for it.
That's the only thing, you know. He never just go straight to that Sin City, huh?
I can't. No, because he started with faculty. Okay. Mm. And so we gotta start there. We gotta start there. Well,
we gotta start good. There.
I do fuck with the faculty, actually. I like that movie.
Just can't get that. What was his first line in Sin City?
I can't remember, but I remember that last line.
I tell her she's okay.
I'll cash her check in the morning.
That's it. That's it. But yeah, Josh Hartnett. There was some other.
A lot of those guys. His,
and like
his,
I said, the lawyer himself.
All those guys. The heavyset Jewish partner right. from the train. He's been in a million things.
Oh, I was just going to say that's Wednesday Adams' boyfriend.
You're goddamn right it is. Good for you. That's good for you. Fucking 20,000 points for Mitch McConnell over here. That's
because he was Wednesday's boyfriend.
He sure was. I forgot all about that. I just remember him showing up at the end of Serenity. He stabbed me with a sword, Mal, but you haven't seen Serenity, so don't worry about it.
No.
Add it to the list.
Yeah.
I want you to add it to the list.
Oh, okay.
Now do it slowly. Mm. Now lie. And turn around. And lie on the bed.
It was stacked.
It was stacked.
You had old boy from
Rises playing Einstein.
The Boys. what's the kid from The Boys?
Jack Quaid. Dennis Quaid's
Randy's,
boy.
Randy's son.
That's Dennis Quaid's son.
Oh, it's Dennis' boy.
Yeah, don't get it twisted. Randy's nephew.
That Casey Affleck.
That Casey Affleck showed up for a good time.
It was short, but I liked the way he pulled his off.
Everybody worked the shit out of it. I think because when you pop up in a Nolan movie now, at least now, Nolan, maybe not when he started out, but especially now,
Yeah.
It's like a Tarantino thing. Like, if you get a line in this shit, you're going to fucking try to kill it because it's golden. Mm-hmm. Golden boy. Everybody was good, man. And it really, I really loved Emily Blunt's character. I really loved her relationship with her husband, that back and forth when he's disheveled in the woods and he's just beside himself with grief over the mistress killing herself. And she basically tells him to fucking snap out of it. A lot of people are depending on you. Like, I thought that was tough, man. That was tough.
I think is this her first intro in the Nolanverse?
Emily Blunt, yeah. And I want to see her come back, don't you?
Yeah, what would you like her? Because I feel like that part could have went to Talia al Ghul.
I think it should have. But if she comes back, we'll just cast her as Poison Ivy, don't worry. When he comes back to the Batman.
Oh, you want to see her as Poison Ivy?
Because that would make some headlines.
What a call. That is a call. Emily Blunt as Poison Ivy.
That's my pick.
Oh,
you just give her that reddish tint. It doesn't have to be bright red.
What a pick. What a pick.
It's just, she'd be great.
Oh, my goodness. That is.
Put her in that green, you know.
She would be a great Poison Ivy.
She'd be great Poison Ivy.
Jesus, that's a good pick.
It is a good pick.
Hey.
I know, because I picked it.
Wow. And he even got a little Modine action. There you go.
Nolan gives Matthew Modine work the way I tear up those spicy nuggets from Wendy's. Let me tell you, that Modine, he doesn't show up in jack shit and Jack left town. You know what I mean? And yet here he is, front and center.
Front and center.
He was in that Rises too when he ran into the street against that gunfire.
Front and center.
But he had it coming.
When Gordon said, I'm not asking you to come out in your dress blues.
Right. Going to send your wife out here to do your dirty talk? Remember he didn't even answer the door. The wife was there and he called him out for that. I'm going to emasculate you and then ask you to come volunteer. That's right. We don't forget anything, kids. No. How about that, Gordon, when he called Killian a crybaby? Get that crybaby out of here.
But here's the thing, though. I wonder if that really happened to Oppenheimer. Like, up there saying, like, I got blood on my hands. Like, motherfucker. I'm the one
that dropped the bomb, and I'm the one in all the papers. Like, I'm the president. I'm the face of America. So who the fuck are you? So I could totally see that happening. Like, it was very realistic to me.
But the thing about it is that, you know, the thing is that Oppenheimer never apologized for it.
Publicly.
Like, it plagued him. It plagued him. But he never apologized for, you know, the construction, the dropping of it, you know, everything. He was just like,
I think it's important. You can't
fault that though.
No, I think
I try to see it at that point in time in history. Like, either you let the science be known and you give Germany, the Nazis at that time, the upper hand to build a nuclear weapon to where they could possibly drop it, you know, on New York or DC, and you give, and then and the history books will change. But the flip side of that is, at this point, you know, it's only been one country that's dropped the bomb on a population to this day that you can name, and we just try to stop everybody else from doing it.
100%.
So
that's it, why,
like I said, to this day, like, it's still radiation around Nagasaki and Hiroshima.
Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy. And that's over 70 years ago.
And that's what I think is, like, so crucial about this movie. And I think what some of the cast and director comments were, like, in some of these interviews I've been watching on YouTube, like, is that, I mean, seminally, he was, like, the most important figure in America by that margin, if you apply it to the idea that process, that project, and the aftermath of that was probably one of the biggest turning points in history, not even just American history, but world history. Because, like you said, if it had gone the other way, where would we be now? High castling around, or fucking Handmaid's tailing around, you know what I mean? Like, but you go the way it went, and it's still horrible and atrocious. And but what was
What was the consequence?
Yeah, what else? What else could we do?
Because again, they say that in this film, and I guess it makes sense, but their strategy really was like, no, we're dropping one time to show that we can do it, but we drop another one to show that we can keep doing it. Like, that is fucking, like, we're not just going to drop one. We're going to drop two so you know that we can just keep doing this all goddamn day.
Because let alone, just based off of, you know, the conversation between Oppenheimer and Matt Damon's character, these motherfuckers did not know what those bombs really could do.
I don't think they really truly knew. Because especially they talked about detonating it in the air so it would cover more ground. And that was a very, at least from the movie, it seemed like that was a very late decision. Like, that wasn't the initial decision. And I remember reading that in like history books in school, like, oh yeah, they detonated it in the air because it covered more, you know. But that's insane, you know, to think about, like, living back then, especially, God forbid, being in Japan during that time, like, and you just look up and see that,
like I said, Oppenheimer told him, he was like, there's a better than 0% chance.
And next to zero.
near zero chance that they wouldn't fucking blow up the world.
Right, that it would be cause a chain reaction and just keep going.
Like, to be there at that time and to discuss something like that.
Right.
Like, that's scary. That is scary.
That's why I loved that ending, because regardless of what went down, I liked that interpretation. I want to believe that anybody involved in that would have that trepidation, would have that fear and that, you know, because that scene with him and Einstein at the end when he says, I think we did destroy the world, you know, and Einstein just walks away and it's like, oh, fuck. Like, fuck.
That's when we wanted Bruce Wayne to just come out the blue and be like, we got work to do.
or
and then
Ra's al Ghul shows up with that green cloak and said, I'll take care of everything else. You come with me.
You know?
And he gets in a car with him and Einstein's like looking like, don't do it, and he just does it.
And Oppenheimer just puts on the hat.
And he says, who are you? And he goes, my name is merely Dukar, but I work for a man named Ra's al Ghul.
What's his name again?
Merely Dukard. I'm just merely Dukard. I'm nobody, but I work for a man named Ra's al Ghul.
If I can call back to a previous show.
I thought it was a mealy for at least a decade. And then I watched it again with subtitles and I go, oh, he's saying merely, like, I'm just merely Dukar.
Amelie Dukar.
Merely Dukar. I'm just merely Dukar.
Amelie Dukar.
No, I thought it was a meal. I thought it was a meal or Amelie Dukar.
Amelie Dukar. It's easier that way.
It's easier. Come on.
Amelie Dukar.
It was a fake name anyway. or cheap parlor tricks to disguise his true identity. Surely a man who spends his nights jumping off rooftops wouldn't begrudge me dual identities. But we can talk about begins all night. I'm sorry.
So between Barbie and Oppenheimer, which one is going to get the second watch first?
There's some great musical numbers in that Barbie.
Wow!
I had a good time.
You're going to hit that Barbie first.
I had a fun time, and I'll say this, and the folks that might know that are in the know, Oppenheimer was a great theatrical experience, probably one of the greatest theatrical experiences I've had in a long time, and I don't think if I went back, I don't think it would be the same. I think
Oppenheimer's atmosphere.
The atmosphere, you know, the lighting, the seating, it just wouldn't be the same. And I think it's one of those things that, you know, especially seeing on the IMAX and sitting in the kind of seat that I was sitting, you know, with the crowd that I had that night, you know, the crowd was everything.
It draws you in. You
know? Sure, that draws you in. It sucks you in. It doesn't matter how old the crowd is. It was a mixed crowd. There were
you just felt like Maximus in the arena.
I was Maximus in the arena.
Hmm.
And my visage was there for all to see as the light reflected off my face.
Visage.
Okay. My visage, yes.
That's what we call it.
Mm-hmm, that's what we call it. And there was elbows being rubbed. And yes, it was fantastic. And I got to say, I got to say, I gotta say, I don't know if it would be the same if I went again, you know? Like, when you see a movie like that.
I was just basically talking about when it starts streaming. I guess I was talking about that.
Again, yeah, I don't know if it'd be the same on my TV.
So you'll jump on that Barbie wagon first, huh?
Just for that Ken song, I gotta say.
Oh, wow.
I'm just Ken. When I see her, she sees a friend. Yeah, man, it's good, man. It's funny, and it's good. Like I said, there's some hokey shit in there, but it's to be expected.
Could a Kinnaman made it as a Ken?
The Kinnaman could have absolutely been a Ken. Absolutely. But that Mitch McConnell turtle would have to stay home.
You know. Speaking of turtles, how about them turtles coming out tomorrow or tonight?
Is it tonight? I thought it was next week.
Is it next week? It's 31st, right?
It's soon.
Yeah.
I like that animation.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll make it out for that one, but I definitely want to see it.
Okay.
You know, I wish my son was into it. He's just not. I try like to drop little nuggets. Even with like the Mario Brothers, I was like, hey, you want to see? Yeah, he's going in these pipes. You like drains and pipes, right? He's like, yeah, but I don't like those pipes.
Okay. Those pipes.
Yeah, I don't like those pipes.
But I guess that's why Mario Brothers and Barbie works. They're establishing new universes that people have been wanting, you know? Because I'm sure there's going to be a Barbie sequel, right?
I know, and I kind of don't want there to be.
No end credits?
No, the way this ends, it's very like, it could be, they could sequelize it, but I feel like it's better if they just left it a one and done.
Leave it alone.
Yeah, but I don't know. But I did see the Mario Brothers movie, like, and I thought they did a great job with that.
Mm-hmm.
For somebody that grew up on the games, and that's what this is for. It's all for like us, you know.
Yeah, only us.
The kids don't have like really much original shit to go off of. Not like we did.
No,
you know,
because Paw Patrol can only get you so far.
It can only get you so far.
It's not too much drama in Paw Patrol.
No, and there's not a whole lot of risque stuff in Paw Patrol.
Like with Ninja Turtles and all that, motherfuckers was doing drugs. And
they were doing fucking drugs easily. Yeah,
it was hard shit. And then
people were stealing whole cartons of cigarettes.
Right. Like there's this, you know, Japanese shogun that's trying to kill four teenagers.
Break it down. Four teenage turtles who slipped some ooze.
Right.
Who were raised by a rat who was
a
also.
Rat.
You know, affected.
I know a rat when I see one.
And that's right. And that's what we're here for.
Yep.
No, but I give them both movie theater good.
Definitely movie theater good.
I think you got to see both of these on a movie theater, especially Oppenheimer. You got to see Oppie on that IMAX.
Right.
You know? I think they're both movie theater good, especially, I mean, goddamn. That Nolan, man, he knows how to shoot.
Because I know when I go back to Oppenheimer, I'm just going all the way up until the test, and then I'm going to cut it off.
I really like the back and forth, though. I love that music, too.
Yeah.
That score was great.
It's kind of Dark Knight Inception-ish.
It's so Dark Knight meets Inception, isn't it? I think that's why I kept waiting for, like, the fucking Batwing to show up. Because it was just like, Because there was like shots of like the rolling planes, and then it would just be like, meow. Be like, oh shit, what if you just heard that would be?
But it's definitely like it's his own theme music, though. I can
100%, 100%.
But like I said, when he suited up, he grabbed the pipe.
He grabbed that pipe and that hat. It was great.
Like shit, he finna go fight the Joker,
or become the Joker.
He lost a lot of weight for this role.
He sure did. He was looking like old school Nick Stevens. Yeah.
He did. He's not Captain Rogers.
He's not new and improved, digitally remastered Nick Stevens.
Oh man. All AI driven.
Wait a minute. Oh man. Yeah. Speaking of AI driven, you ever feel driven to like prove yourself to people? I feel like I feel like I don't. Oh, to kill somebody? Oh, what are we going to say? Oh.
No.
Like, do you ever feel driven to like pull your dick out and throw it on the desk and be like, no, I know this shit. You don't know anything.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I feel like every opportunity I've ever had, and I thought about it with Oppenheimer, right? Like, he kind of came, he knew his shit and he could like carry that kind of clout. like, I don't think I've ever had that where I've like walked into a room or a position or any kind of work environment. Even if I did know shit more, even if I knew that I knew more than the other person, I always try to listen first. I never feel the need to throw the clout around or be like, you know, I'm the fucking King Tut of Turd Island. You know what I mean?
Really give that off? That's what you got from him? You got like, when he entered the room, he was just like, yeah, all right, fucking listen to me.
I think so. I think it wasn't until he like actually started recruiting. When he was like teaching, it was different. But when he started working on the project, it was kind of very.
I thought the way it came up to me when he was building Los Alamos, I just felt like it's an in charge thing. He didn't know everything, but it was just the in charge. Like everything is going to have to run through me type deal. That's what I got from him. I didn't get like, you know, when he entered that room of scientists, he was like, it's going to be my way. And, you know.
Not a my way or the highway guy, but definitely like a sense of like,
I know more.
Yeah, kind of.
Because he didn't pull that shit with.
But everybody wanted to talk to him.
He did kind of pull that shit with Einstein too.
He did.
Because at that point, you know, everybody thought Einstein was a god. And then here comes Poirot, and he proved him wrong.
I mean, he shows up. And Downey just wants him like, hey, I can introduce you. He's like, no, I've already met him.
Right. Because
of course, he's here. He published his theories of relativity 40 years ago.
What was the scientist's name? Niels Bohr.
Right. Niels Bohr. Good old Bohr.
Yeah. How many people have proven Einstein wrong?
Right.
Right.
Like, he wasn't the kind of guy you could just walk up to and be like, hey, listen, what is your favorite category on Pornhub? You know, he really wouldn't know how to respond
to that. Like that. No. Oh, no.
What kind of porn do you think Oppenheimer was a fan of? Girl on girl, or
definitely the commie on commie.
Commie on commie.
Like that. He liked that. Like that commie cunt.
You know, it's a funny word, and here's why: because it takes so much effort to say it. It doesn't really roll off the tongue. You can't really just go. You and I both know you don't just go to that like off the tip. You really have to think. There's a roadmap in your head, right? The guys are laying out bricks. They're trying to get that walkway squared away for you and make sure that they put that yield sign in the ground.
But they got the blueprint. I always give them the blueprint.
You give them the blueprint.
I give them the blueprint ahead of time. I don't let the workers just work. No,
I'm sure.
They have a blueprint.
When
coming up with some stupid ass shit, I give them a blueprint and I say,
I know you do.
Main thing, our theme here is we want alliteration.
We want alliteration. That's the big thing.
If we can't come in with alliteration, we're not going to sell the product.
That is your platform, isn't it? Alliteration is your thing. That's your bag.
Hence,
Comic-Con. Right. I guess I should know. I mean, Comic-Cons, Comic-Cunt. You know what I mean? It seems like. It seems like interchangeable, you know, comic cunts. What if we change the show completely? We just sell it to two broads.
Because
and they
could
call it comic
I
cunts.
Said, I could no? have said, I could have said commie ass. It doesn't work.
It could,
I could
have you
said
could,
commie
yeah.
puss. It does not work.
Funny. Also funny.
Which
but
one?
But not as funny.
Which one?
Commie puss. Because here's why. Because anytime you take pussy and you abbreviate it to puss, that's funny to me.
It does more.
That's funny to me.
And just to go back in the show, that's where I got
go
it
back.
I get
right.
it, I go I get it from the airplanes. I get
the
it
little
from the
people.
Blazing Saddles.
The little people.
You know, I get it from my historical comedies. The Naked Guns.
The little people. And now comes a time where I believe you, the little people. That's where you get it from. And again, it's funny. If we sold this show to two females and they actually called the show Comic Cunts, would the show be more successful?
I don't know. Either successful or there's definitely a lawsuit coming.
From us?
Yeah.
No, we sell it to them.
Oh, we sell it to them.
Yeah,
oh.
or we just rebrand ourselves and we wear women's
comic
wigs.
Comic cunts.
Yeah, and we just say now we identify as hers, sure she's or they's. And I still get tripped up. Somebody's doing a GoFundMe.
I don't mind they. I don't mind they because with they.
Not saying I mind it. I just get tripped up.
You know what they call me down at the MCU. I can use they. I love using they.
Jimmy Two Face. Jimmy Two Face. Okay. Yeah. Jimmy Two Face.
Because we.
Two Face. Jimmy Two Face.
We're going to figure this out.
Oh, you like that dichotomy?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
That dichotomy, huh?
Yeah, we like it.
We like it.
We have two minds.
We love it. Yeah. And we want some more of it.
Right.
All right.
So pretty much that's what you turned yourself into. You turned yourself into Two-Face watching Oppenheimer and Barbie. Then
right. On one hand, I have this nuanced theatrical experience with tangible, tantalizing temptations. And then I have Barbie with the wife watching some hilarity unfold.
I almost thought we were going to get some Killian Cock.
I thought it might happen.
I thought he was going to pull that newspaper down.
But then we'd have to raise that rating.
What was the rating?
Because you can't have reproductive organs on screen and keep it PG-13. That's a thing. It's a true thing. I'm serious. Because a woman's organs are on the inside, they get away with that sometimes.
Ah.
Like Diane Keaton shows off her stuff and something's got to give. Jack Nicholson's like, whoa. And it stayed PG-13 because, again, Diane Keaton from a foyer far enough away. She did the cover-up. Again, reproductive organs aren't showing. But if you got a dangle flopping around, that raises the rating. Don't ask me why.
Man, how can we raise that rating? It's already R. I think we could show some.
Was Oppenheimer R?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Probably some expletives in there, too.
Did somebody say fuck in Oppenheimer?
Somebody said cunt at least once.
I know somebody said cunt. Somebody said cunt. And I'm thinking they said comic cunt.
What if Oppenheimer in his voice said, just bring that coming cunt over here.
Do you think that killing, he really nailed it?
I think he crushed it.
Yeah.
I'd be real surprised if he doesn't take home that best actor.
Because I don't see anybody else competing with that right now.
I don't see anybody competing for anything after the...
I mean, unless Ken comes out the blue.
I mean, he should get something is all I'm saying. A Golden Globe.
Let me go back. Wait a minute. What about that Robbie in that Barbie? Was she Barbie or was she Harley?
She was Barbie. It was good.
She was Barbie. Oh,
yeah,
wow.
It was good. It was good.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
But Ken stole the show.
Ken stole the show.
Hence my post. Yeah, he stole the show. I think Jen would agree, too. I think he stole the fucking show.
Wow.
He was so funny. He played the fuck out of being a male doll that didn't know what the fuck to do with himself. And then he came to the real world and discovered that men rule the world and just lost his goddamn mind. Or at least through his eyes, men rule the world.
Dang. So not much, because you haven't said much about that Margot Robbie.
No, I guess I haven't. Look, she's always a pleasure to be around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't get me
wrong.
She
looked good.
She looked great. Everybody looked great.
Okay.
Even Michael Cera looked great in this, you know?
Okay.
Everybody's looking good, you know, and funny. There's some good laughs in here. Not saying it's a laugh fest all the way through, but there's some good jokes. There's some good bits.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'd appreciate it.
No, I'm gonna watch it.
You know, now I just got to catch that new mission.
Because I've been get on that mission too.
Because I've been going through all the old missions, and it's a fun ride.
Hmm. Barbie.
The missions.
Oh, the missions. Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of hard for me to go past two. You know, once I'm past Mission Impossible 2, I kind of give up because that's all I need.
That's
funny. I don't think it got better to me.
That's so fucked up because I feel like 2 is the worst one. I can never finish 2. I tried watching 2 and I was like, I can't do it. But I finished the Abrams one. I didn't finish Ghost Protocol. I thought that was kind of boring. But I love that Rogue Nation and Fallout. That Rogue Nation and Fallout for me, man.
Just because of that Hank, huh?
Man, that Hank, man.
You like that Hank?
I just like him and Rebecca Ferguson too. I like that whole thing. There's legs for days. There's a lot of stuff going on.
I like to see her in some team. Nolan shit.
Love that. Love that idea. How about that Haley Atwell? Bring her on for a ride.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because don't you think Captain Carter got a little underutilized?
In what manner? What do you mean?
I don't know. They killed her off and it was kind of like, yeah, it's kind of like everybody. Blackballed everybody. Like, we need to see them again. You know? Anson Mount. He's a hell of a man. Hell of a handsome-ass captain, too.
You bring back Black Bolt now. You can't bring him back, can you?
You can, because he's probably alive in other worlds.
In other worlds, okay.
Yeah.
But that Captain Carter, you say she just... Because what else? She was in other stuff, right? Captain Carter?
I never saw that Agent Carter show, but you know.
I mean, Agent Carter, right.
She's in the new mission. She's in Mission 7.
Right.
But I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud. When I'm thinking out loud, I'm usually doing something else under the table.
Or on the armrest.
Rubbing my comic cunt.
Mm.
Or cock.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Comic cock. That's pretty fucked up the way they brought down Oppenheimer, though. They just said you fuck these communists, you're a communist.
Right. Come on now.
That there were spies in Los Alamos. How could you not know?
How could you not? He was blinded by his own arrogance.
Blinded by his own arrogance. That's it.
And she blinded me with science.
She blinded him with those blinders of hers.
You goddamn right.
Those pew tits.
Let's talk.
They're just okay.
They weren't huge. They were kind of pew.
No, they're not. They're not. Right. They were ice cream cones.
Mm-hmm. But they were fun ice cream cones.
They were fun.
Yeah. Maybe it's because you're in a Nolan movie, so when you saw those, you're like, well, Miss Vale.
Right. They caught me by surprise.
They caught me by surprise. The way you catch me by surprise.
Because that that pew. She's just okay, isn't she?
But there's moments.
What moment?
Do a Goog image and you'll know what I'm talking about. There's some moments.
Yeah, but what you mean by moment? Like in the film or you just talking about?
No, just in general.
Just in general.
Yeah. Just moving some cans around.
Huh?
I was just moving some cans around.
Oh, I was just about to say, if she had those Scar Joes, it would be a difference.
Yes.
Yeah. Those Scar Joes.
So you're saying Scar Joe needs to do an R-rated Nolan movie?
Oh, wow. Yes. Yes.
Where should he take us next? Real quick, before we end the show, where should Nolan take
us
next?
Where can Nolan go now? I don't want no superhero shit.
No, no, no. We're not. We were joking about Gotham.
And he doesn't have to do another historical bit.
Although, what if that's his niche now?
You know what? I want to see a Western.
Ooh, a Nolan Western. Dude, I didn't think I could get any harder, but I think you just fucking got me aroused.
I want to do a Nolan Western. He's been everywhere else.
I don't think I ever knew I needed to see a Nolan Western until you just said that. You're right. We have enough sci-fi stuff coming out.
Right.
And Yellowstone's a hell of a hit with everybody. I think maybe the Western might have a resurgence.
Because he's done everything else for us. Hasn't he? He's like taken us to space.
Yeah, he has.
He's taken us to the future.
I read The Killer of the Flower Moon. I read the book. I'm looking forward to the movie. I think we need more movies like that, maybe. Maybe it just changes the pace.
Right, that's Scorsese.
The creator coming out.
That's going to be tough.
It's all going to be good.
That's going to be tough. If anyone can find a way to bring back...
The Western.
If he's ever interested in doing it again. If anybody can talk Daniel Day-Lewis into acting in a Nolan film.
In a Western. And just for shits and gigs, have Clint Eastwood show up just one last time.
You want Clint
something.
Eastwood.
He could just show up as something. Doesn't have to be in big role. Bring Kurt Russell into the mix too. I need Kurt Russell on a horse and throw Costner in that motherfucker. Dude.
You want Kurt Russell?
Can you imagine?
Kurt Russell? Okay, so we got a Nolan film.
And Cillian Murphy.
I'm casting Daniel Day.
Mm-hmm. As the lead villain.
As the lead villain.
Not a good guy.
I'm bringing back Bale.
Bale comes as the main protagonist, the hero.
No, I don't want him as
well. He comes in there swinging.
You know what? Fuck it. I want DiCaprio as the hero.
Oh man, now I'm really going down on you. Okay.
I want DiCaprio as a hero. I want Bane as a sidekick to that, and then I bring in that Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy. Oh, I like that. I like that. Kurt Russell shows up as a sheriff, but he doesn't make it long.
You want Kurt Russell as a sheriff.
Michael Bean comes in as a farmer. Michael Bean.
I was going to say Michael Bean could have been the sheriff for me.
Val Kilmer shows up in the fucking saloon, but he has no lines. He's just dealing a hand.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Sam Elliott, of course, has to show up.
So you just want Tombstone again?
I want Tombstone again. The Cillian Murphy shows up. Emily Blunt would be great. She was in that Western show that was pretty good.
And I watched that. That's my next thing. I'm going to watch that. Yeah,
that was actually pretty good.
Yeah, my thing is, I just need Daniel Day-Lewis back one more time.
One more time. Is he retired? Retired again?
He's retired. He's done.
But they keep bringing him back.
Like
Phantom Thread. There will be blood.
Yeah. What was his like? Lincoln.
No, I think he did Phantom Thread because that actually got an Oscar.
Phantom?
Because Lincoln was 2013. Phantom Thread was like 2016, 2017. I never saw it. The Phantom Thread. I don't know.
Okay, I got you.
He played like some kind of aristocrat or something.
Yeah.
That he was real bossy, but then he falls in love with the help. Classic story.
Mm.
You know? Leo is the hero going up against reuniting.
Reuniting, right.
Like reunited, like Wu-Tang. Going up against fucking
Bill the Butcher.
Yeah. Because you are lukewarm, I will steal you from my mouth.
You get rid of that Kurt Russell. I'll trade you. How about this?
Hmm.
I know you're on that Kurt Russell cop.
Mm-hmm. Always.
But I'll trade you.
Hmm. Trade me.
I'll give you Liam Neeson. Give me that Kurt Russell. Just kick that Kurt Russell out. I'll give you Liam Neeson.
Oh, well, because you're giving me Liam Neeson, I guess it's a fair trade. Can we at least have Kurt Russell come on to co-produce?
He doesn't need to be there.
Fine. We'll take Neeson. We'll take Neeson. I love Neeson in a Western role.
All right. With that, just give me the whole cast from Gangs of New York in a.
Give me the whole cast from Gangs of New York. Throw in some Neeson. I forgot Neeson was in that Gangs of New York. He's in the beginning. Yeah.
The priest.
John C. Reilly too.
Yeah, John C. Reilly. Yeah.
I got to go back to Gangs of New York now. That's a good movie.
Oh man, I saw this fan made clip. For Bill the Butcher this week. And that shit is cool as hell. Because Bill the Butcher was talking some big shit in Gangs of New York. Mm-hmm. If you just isolate his whole script.
Oh, really? His monologue?
Yeah, his monologue, right.
I just love that scene when he tells somebody, he goes, "Because you are lukewarm, I will spew you from my mouth." And I just thought, like, goddamn, what a way to fucking file somebody down to nothing.
Nothing.
You know? And then he fucking takes that axe and hurls it at fucking, what's his name? Our big boy. The big Irish son of a bitch. Hurls it, that? Kills him in the back. I don't know, but he's been in tons of movies.
Hmm.
And his son is in movies, too. I just can't remember.
Daniel Day.
No, it's the guy. He killed.
Oh no! I know you're talking about
Irish dude.
Right, I know you're talking about. Yeah,
yeah. Which Irish guy? You know the one in fucking Gangs of New York.
Because he is one big Irish guy.
He's one big Irish motherfucker, bear claw and everything.
Mm.
And that's the show. I hate to end abruptly, but that's just how I'm feeling because that Secret Invasion's ended abruptly. You know, so. So if you want to watch something and not be disappointed, watch that fucking Oppie, you know, and that's what, I mean, the movie was great. There's nothing else I can say about my theatrical experience other than it was just fantastic.
Nothing else you can say.
I can't see anything else. It just, I definitely haven't had, I've been haunted by this movie. I can't stop thinking about this movie.
Mm.
It just makes me wonder what, I mean, I could almost taste the movie. You know what I mean? And goddamn.
Strawberries.
Strawberries.
Mm.
You know, that's what they say, right? That's what they say film tastes like. They say film has like a strawberry taste.
Unspoiled strawberries. Mm-hmm.
And it's just fiction, kids. Everything that's said on this show is absolute fiction. There's definitely been no...
Except for Oppenheimer's strawberries.
Except for Oppie's strawberries. Oppie's strawberries, coming to a grocery store near you.
Mm. Nice, supple, young, and shaved.
That's right. Stop through at McDonald's and say hello to the fucking cash. I can't even finish it. Thanks for coming out, kids. Remember whatever we said on the show, it's just fiction. Don't take it seriously. And also, pal, you are my number one guy.
Don't forget, you're like a tank.
Because of you, there's a song in my heart. Because of you, my romance had its start. Because of you, the sun will shine, the moon and stars will say you're mine forever and never. Like this, because of you, my life is now worthwhile, and I can smile because of you. Smile.